Mighty Mace.
Party people in the place to be. Uh-huh. It's about that time
for us to.
Yeah. Yeah, what you know about going out, head west, red legs, TV.
Welcome back to RBKD. It is a way back rap Wednesday, old school hip hop hump day right here on RBKD. You can be a part of the show. Please do hit us up via Twitter. I'm at Rod Babers in the Twitterverse. Kevin Dunn at KevinDunn01. Patrick Davis at It's Patrick Davis in the Twitterverse. We'll talk Cowboys here in this segment. Also, a little Texans as well. Texans still interviewing coaches for their coaching search, so we'll get into that a little bit. Also, we'll talk about the Cowboys. They may be interviewing coaches potentially if they end up losing one or both of their coordinators who are hot names currently in the coaching carousel. Also, Troy Aikman.
Man, Troy.
Troy Aikman, man. Just kind of a shot at Kellen Moore, a little bit. I mean, I think it's a
could
shot
be
at
Dak, but more.
Could be Dak. You're right. It could be Dak too. About their
really
inability
though.
to weaponize CeeDee Lamb in that game. So I want to get to those comments too. Those and Cowboys free agency focus, because the Cowboys now, unfortunately, in the offseason, and they need to focus on free agency. They have 22
unrestricted free agents.
Yeah, 22 unrestricted free agents. That's a lot. And we'll have the conversation about which ones we would prioritize. Just say we're going to pick the top three, because the Cowboys, because of their salary cap situation, they won't be able to be huge players in free agency because they're $21.2 million over the salary cap already. They can restructure some things and they can make some cuts and give themselves a little bit more wiggle room, but they don't have a ton. The projected salary cap is $208 million for 2022. So we'll get into it and have the conversation about the Cowboys there as well. Let's start with the free agency conversation, and we'll work our way to the Troy Aikman, CeeDee Lamb comments, and then work our way back to the coordinators, then with the Texans when we got some time left. Sorry, Texans.
Can I give you a top four? Yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah, go ahead.
My top four would be, oh, man, you got to start with Randy Gregory.
I agree with that.
It's all about, if Gregory really wants to cash in and it's too much, then you adjust that. But Randy Gregory is one for me.
Yep.
Two would be probably J'Ron Kearse, because of the issues he's had there. But right there, and maybe two would be Cedric Wilson, because I don't think you're going to keep Michael Gallup, and we'll see what happens with Amari Cooper. Cedric Wilson you got for 1 year and $2 million, which was a deal. You can get him for 2 years and $9 million or $10 million or $11 million, whatever that market rate's going to be. Cedric Wilson is probably going to be needed even more, and is a damn, I think he's a starter in the league.
Yeah, I mean, you said that actually before Cedric Wilson had a big year after before the Michael Gallup, and you thought he could start for, I'll give you props, I think you said half the teams in the league potentially, considering most teams have three receivers that end up starting.
Yeah.
I don't disagree with you at all, and actually I think you this year actually added more credence to your argument. So I agree with you, and I think I'll add a little bit of, you know, kind of a, I don't know. We don't know what's going to happen right now with Amari Cooper, but I do think if you're looking long term, if the Cowboys are looking to play some chess here, not checkers, they could potentially sign Cedric Wilson, get a value deal there, bargain deal, and maybe a 2 year mercenary deal for Cedric Wilson. And also, of course, Michael Gallup, because he's also in this unrestricted free agent class. Michael Gallup. He's going to command some money in the free agent market, but it's possible if you're willing to meet him close to what he thinks his value is going to be, and then you could decide to move on from Amari Cooper. If you make that decision that, hey, we're going to trade Amari Cooper at one point. He's got 3 years left on his deal. We still can get something for him, a second-round pick, and then make CeeDee Lamb the focus of the passing game, which I guess Troy Aikman will talk about there in a second. He would agree that you can make him the focus of the passing game, which they did not in that last playoff game. Then maybe you can get back to the salary cap, give yourself a little bit more freedom, a little bit more flexibility within your salary cap too. And also, I mean, you drafted CeeDee Lamb in the first round for this purpose, to be at one point your featured guy in the passing game. Amari Cooper you got because you needed a target, a number one receiver for Dak Prescott. Now you got multiple targets for Dak Prescott. Might as well take the one that's more fiscally responsible, in terms of a fiscally responsible choice.
Some other names that could definitely be in this list are Dalton Schultz, Keanu Neal, LVE. I didn't mention DeMonte Kazee either.
Yeah, and because he's a guy that Dan Quinn brought with him, right? He basically recruited Keanu Neal and DeMonte Kazee because he had spent time with them with the Falcons early on, and they fit what his vision was for the Cowboys. But I agree with your top three. I think mine is very similar. I don't know how you want to address wide out, but I would say between Cedric Wilson and Michael Gallup, have a plan. And if that includes Amari Cooper being traded in the future, have a plan there. Because I would include the wire, both of those guys almost in the same category for me. If you can get Michael Gallup at a bargain deal or great value, take it. But then if you can't, take Cedric Wilson. Jayron Kearse is my number two,
okay,
in my opinion. I love the season he had. I gave the stat earlier via Pro Football Focus, had just three missed tackles all season long, finished eighth among safeties with 83 tackles, 3.2% missed tackle rate. That's second best among safeties with at least 25 tackles. And he had 10 tackles for loss or no gain. That's third best among safeties. 11 quarterback pressures, which is 39 pass rush snaps. That's more than his first five seasons combined. He was perfect. A perfect fit in that Dan Quinn system. Makes sense because Dan Quinn was the one that saw that and actually wanted him and recruited him to Dallas. Played some linebacker at linebacker depth when they needed it, but they brought him in to be a tight end stopper. You know the Cowboys always try to get a great value at safety. For some reason, they believe they can get good value there in the free agent market as opposed to drafting a safety high. This is one of those success stories. I'd keep the party going.
Yeah, they haven't had a ton of those, though. This was the year where it felt like it actually did land.
It did.
Patrick, are we missing anyone? Also, the punter, Anger.
Anger is there as well. But, I mean, that's a thing of I don't think you're going to have to pay him bukus of money.
You better not.
So you're sitting there and go, yeah, we want to bring him back, but, you know, just give him a reasonable price and you should be all right. I think Randy Gregory's the big question is, do you go ahead and pay him the money that he's probably going to want, or do you say, all right, we're just going to try and draft somebody. We're going to try and, you know, we've seen that you have some problems between the ears, that you may make some crucial mistakes in a playoff game. So we're going to go try and get someone else. I know Mel Kiper had the Cowboys in his first mock draft. He had them taking a defensive end, Trayvon Walker, out of Georgia.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, maybe that's the one you go, all right, we try and use one of our first picks to get another defensive end, pair him alongside Lawrence and see how that goes, but not necessarily get in the salary cap trouble of paying Gregory, where you're going to have to do a back-ended deal just because of your salary cap space and go, all right, well, now we're paying Gregory for 4 years, 5 years, and it's backloaded, that if he continues to be a foul problem or if he has other legal issues or whatever else, we're kind of stuck. So I think that might be an option, too, of when you're trying to figure out somebody's got to go. We can't sign everybody because there's just not enough money.
Yeah.
That may be a guy that has to go.
I will say, because I think you made some great points, I will say that those same off-the-field issues, that baggage, is going to drive his price down with other teams, too.
I agree.
So that's good for the Cowboys because Jerry Jones can always say, hey, man, I had your back.
Yeah.
You know, man, when the league was trying to suspend you for trumped up, drug violations, I was the one that said, man, the NFL shouldn't even be drug testing you anyway for that stuff. So I'm not saying he's going to get a hometown discount, but Jerry shows his players a lot of love, and I think Randy Gregory might reciprocate some of that love on the open market if the difference is negligible. All right, it can't be a huge difference. He's going to take the money, of course. If you can come close to what they're offering in open market, and I like I said, I got to go look at the defensive ends that are also going to be available. If it's a nice defensive end class of free agents, then that also would drive the price down. So I think he should be the top priority. Patrick's right. It's going to be tough to get him, and you might have to think about replacing him in the draft. I like the Cowboys' first round mentality, which is always just take the best talent available. Maybe that is a defensive end, but it's also led to them getting CeeDee Lamb and Michael Parsons. I like that philosophy.
Martin.
Zach Martin, just take the whoever's top guy on your board.
Right.
You did the research already. If they're there, I don't give a damn how deep your position is at, you know, that they're playing. Just take it.
That's been just my philosophy for a long time.
Yeah.
Unless there's such a glaring need. But really, probably the most time I've been on the radio, I just thought, First round. At that point, we're looking for a difference maker.
Mm-hmm.
And my guess is if he's that good of a difference maker, because we all said it with Micah Parsons, what are you doing drafting a linebacker? Well, that was a hell of a pick.
That's a great point.
Well, but that's the other thing is if you still have Dan Quinn going next year, it's positionless football a lot with him and hybrid players.
We'll find a spot.
So if it's a best available and it's a linebacker, it's a best available and somebody else, that may be your edge rusher come next season.
True. All right, so DallasCowboys.com. This is Nick Eatman was reading some stuff today. He's got, of the 22 unrestricted free agents, whose contract will expire in March. He split it into difference makers, starting material, and solid contributors. Difference makers, he's got Gregory, Schultz, Gallup, Curse, Anger.
Yeah, I mean, I like the J-Run Curse thing, and I like the Randy Gregory thing. I think those two guys you should try to prioritize. And you know Dan Quinn, like, he has built his blueprint around them. He specifically liked those guys, and I think that should try to be your priority. You can get J-Run Curse. Randy Gregory is going to be tough.
It's going to be tough. Starting material, he's got Dorrance Armstrong, Malik Hooker, DeMonte Kazee, Keanu Neal, Jake McQuaid, the long snapper, Leighton Vander Esch, Connor Williams, and Cedric Wilson. Of all the, I mean, actually, that's the funny thing about this. So I don't disagree with how he's putting this. I'm not telling you Cedric Wilson is a difference maker. He's definitely a starter. I'm looking at what you have and stuff you could kind of play around with because you are over the cap. Mm-hmm. And if you can ship Amari Cooper and then cut Zeke in about a year, that's how you can get out of this mess.
Yeah. Totally agree.
And then in terms of solid contributors, Noah Brown, Malik Turner, Brent Urban, Carlos Watkins, and he's got some backup role guys as well. So we'll see how all this plays out. We're also going to see, as we talked about, you're trying to figure out what you're going to do with your unrestricted free agents, and you just had a defensive coordinator who came in and did some really special things. And as Rod pointed out, I don't think this is something we should overlook, also recruited a lot of these guys to come in and work with his system. So are both coordinators going to be back? I'm looking at the tracker right now. So the Bears head coach, they are either going to interview or have interviewed a bunch of guys, but Dan Quinn is on that list. Denver, yep. Dan Quinn, and Kellen Moore are on the list, and they've already talked to him. Jacksonville, both guys are on the list. Miami, both guys are on the list. Wow. Minnesota, both guys are on the list. Man. Giants, Dan Quinn is on the list.
Man.
None with the Raiders, but guys, I mean, there's a good chance that
you're gonna lose one of them.
You're gonna lose one of them,
and you can't choose which one you're gonna lose.
No, I'm hoping that they're just asking Dan Quinn about Kellen Moore.
You're gonna lose one of them, and you can't. I think you might be able to replace a Dan Quinn easier just because there are more candidates on the open market potentially. If a Brian Flores doesn't get a job, there's a Vic Fangio out there. There's a Raheem Morris out there. So potentially, you know, you could get a guy who used to be a head coach who also is a defensive guru to help you pick up where Dan Quinn left off. But Kellen Moore, like I said yesterday, he'd be the one that's tougher to replace if you lose a Kellen Moore. I don't know exactly where you go. I do like that Joe Brady suggestion you made yesterday. They're great minds out there.
Although you'd have
to
sell that after Brady's 2 years in Jackson or Carolina.
No, I'm with you on that too. Yeah, I agree. So that's how I feel about it. But I think Dan Quinn is more likely to get a job. Though,
I do too.
Right now.
I do too.
I mean, he's made it to the Super Bowl as a head coach before.
Right.
Yep. That automatically puts you at a different level of being ready for the job.
And that's where we talk about it a lot with coaches and presidents. We've seen it our whole lifetime. You go the other way. Mm-hmm. And you got David McWilliams. We're bringing in the passing game. And we got John McAvick. Well, John McAvick was too wine and cheese and not enough recruiting. And we're bringing in Mac Brown. Here we go.
Great point.
After Mac Brown, you know what we want? We want someone who we want a coach. We want an X's and O's
coach.
Guy.
He's a football
guy.
Coach.
A football guy.
Yeah.
And he was defense. That didn't work out. You know what? We're going to get a football guy on offense. This guy's going to call plays.
Damn
That's
right.
how it's going to work. And it's going to be a culture of toughness.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't work.
Not really.
Sark, different than Herman, but still an offensive mind. Usually, you would think Denver would actually look at a Kellen Moore more. Because now the difference is Fangio had never been a head coach. But they're older, defensive-minded guys.
Yeah.
And that's what you're bringing in.
Yeah. And I know that Fangio, you know,
who players love, apparently.
Yeah, they like him. You know, bringing him in schematically does a little bit of difference in how philosophically and how they go about their business. I think Dan Quinn's more multiple. We talked about he loves hybridism and positionless football. Vic Fangio is more of a three down lineman guy.
Yeah.
And Michael Parsons would fit in any of that, but you do have to consider that when you bring in a new defensive coordinator.
Right, but that could be a flip like you just talked about. That could be one of those trading.
You're right. I wouldn't doubt that either, man.
Vic ends up calling up his successor and saying, hey, were you renting down here? Is there any way I can lease this?
Hey,
is that cool?
Yeah, the Cowboys, right now they should be not interviewing because their guys aren't going yet, but they need to be making a list and checking it twice.
They do.
Right now about how to replace a Kellen Moore and how to replace a Dan Quinn.
Where do you see the Texans search going right now? Because they're going to interview the Rams OC. They've already talked to Brian Flores, and they've already talked to Gerard Mayo, right?
They've already talked to Gerard Mayo, reportedly. Brian Flores, they tweeted that out as well. Hines Ward was thrown out there, too.
Hines Ward.
Like I said, and I think some of these...
Hines Ward seems like he'd be a great coach. Steelers played a ton of positions and tough as hell.
You know what? And I don't disagree with that necessarily. Joe Lombardi, they also interviewed him reportedly. And we talked about it, Kevin O'Connell, the OC for the Rams. So right now, based on that, and Jonathan Gannon.
And by the way,
Eagles defensive coordinator also interviewed.
No relation to Rich.
No.
Louisville guy.
Okay.
Was been a DC for the last couple of years. DB coach long term, if I remember.
Okay. Yeah. And Joe Lombardi?
Offensive line coach.
Is he any... He's not.
I believe so.
He's not relation to the Vince Lombardi.
Is he? I don't know.
I put it on my resume even if I wasn't.
Yeah. Hell yeah. You definitely, right.
Then I'd go to apply to Notre Dame from Georgia Tech.
In the football world. But yeah, those are the names. Jared Mayo, inside linebacker coach for the Patriots. Brian Flores, former Miami Dolphins coach. Jonathan Gannon, Eagles DC. Hines Ward, who is, I'll get you his title. I think he's at like Florida Atlantic right now or somewhere like that. Some random place right now Hines Ward is working. And then Joe Lombardi.
Joe Lombardi, grandson.
There you go.
And he's really just been an OC. I don't see any line stuff. I see defensive line, tight ends, running backs coach, but really has been an offensive assistant. He's been floating on that name.
Okay. Yeah, wait. That name will take you far.
That name will get you somewhere. Yeah, so right now, if you had to guess, would you say Flores?
I think Flores right now is leading candidate. And I said this before. You know, sometimes these programs – organizations, not programs, but these institutions, they'll interview different candidates, not always with the intention of interviewing that person specifically for the head coaching job. Jared Mayo could be being interviewed to see if he would be a great DC for whoever they end up hiring. Hines Ward, like I said, Hines Ward hasn't even really been in coaching, but something tells me they might want him for their front office or a player ops type of position somewhere around there. So a lot of these interviews, some of them are specifically for head coaching candidates. Some of them are so they can find out trade secrets or find out background on other candidates. Mm-hmm. They're actually doing more research, almost more thorough, deep dive research on candidates by getting coaches who are once close to them. They don't tell them that directly. They'll interview them, but then 10, 15 minutes to the interview, they start getting to, oh, you spent some time with this guy. How is he? We heard some things about him. Is he a good guy? He's good. You talk 10 minutes about him, and then like, all right, great interview. Boom, moving on.
Yeah, and also remember,
I'm over here to talk about your friend.
It happens.
Is he single?
Yeah, and remember, Brian Flores could take another job too. Yeah. Like, he doesn't have to go to the Texans. Very if he cool. feels, hey man, this is 3 years away, I'm not going to be winning there either. I just did that for 3 years in Miami and they fired me.
Yeah, and you could definitely argue this is the least attractive job of all of them, considering that the talent they have right now and the fact that you've got Deshaun Watson that's just sitting there in limbo.
He's leaving. I mean, Nick Caserio said on 6-10, he's like, nope, there's no reconciliation.
But he hadn't left yet. And I don't know what we're going to get for him.
They still want three first. Still.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, you're going to have to wait till all this stuff clears.
I was saying, until the lawsuits are settled, you got to wait for
and
all
if
that.
Especially if it doesn't get criminal and they get settled, you'll get 3-1s for them.
If everything gets settled, you'll definitely get... for in his prime, right. On a contract-friendly, team-friendly contract.
So apparently, and we'll get to, next segment, we'll get to the Troy Aikman stuff, because I want to give that some time. But I'm looking at Hines Ward, was trying to figure out where he's been. I think you're right, Rod. I don't see anything. He was with Dancing with Stars. Do you guys know that he had a cameo in The Dark Knight Rises?
Yeah, he was running. He was on the field when Bane, right? He's on the field.
I haven't seen it.
He's on the field that when they blow sense. Up the stadium.
There's a football
when
scene.
When they blow up the stadium, he's on the field.
Yeah, he was sense. Also in The Walking Dead.
Now, Dad, I don't watch The Walking Dead, so I wouldn't remember that one.
Man.
Was he walking or dead?
I don't know. I have no idea.
But what is he at? Florida Atlantic now? Is that where he is?
It doesn't say here.
I think he's I don't know where. I want to say he might be like working at Florida Atlantic as like a wide receiver coach or something. Something weird like that. But I'll get confirmation.
We'll continue to look at the coaching searches. Cowboys trying to keep guys. Texans looking for a head guy. We'll save that Eric Dickerson story for tomorrow. Let's get back to what we teased.
Wide receiver coach at Florida Atlantic.
There you go.
Yep.
That's a hell of a gig. for Florida Atlantic to pull him there.
I don't know how the hell that happened. He must. Yeah, I don't know what that is. That's weird. That is weird.
But he buddies with someone.
He definitely is.
Let's get into the Troy Aikman story, because Troy had some serious words for the Cowboys and really their use of CeeDee Lamb.
I sit alone in my four-cornered room, staring at candles.
Who got it, man?
We on the radio, Duke?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Repeat this here. Headlight, I can't sleep. I toss and turn. Candlesticks in the dark.
Hip-hop Wednesday here. This is a classic. Patrick's done a great job all day.
Nice.
Spinning stuff. So we're going through during the break. We're going, I was looking to see, Rogers like, hey, Hines Ward should go to Georgia.
Yeah, because Hines Ward's coaching now.
I think the receivers coach just was signed by LSU and Brian Kelly. And, of course, we go there, and they do not have a receivers coach
ding,
right
ding,
now.
Ding, 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 ding.
But what they do have is a pretty full football support staff. We're laughing, the three of us, during the break, because I kept on scrolling down, and it just goes on and on and on and on.
And all of them have their own titles. They got to be making up these titles for these people.
There's too many jobs
it's
here. You're making this up.
Random titles. They just making up stuff.
Where does he come from? He comes from Nick Saban, Saban's done a lot of things. I would argue that maybe the most creative or head of the game he was when he said, all right, you're going to have limitations for assistant coaches?
Mm-hmm.
I got a building right there and no limitations. I can have 200 people in here if I want.
They can't see that. They can't coach on the field. They can't recruit. But they can help me in other ways.
They can help out.
They can help me in a lot of ways.
And this is just insane.
It is. I mean, I want to compare theirs, Georgia's, to Texas's support staff, because I know that was part of Tom Herman's priority when he got here, was to overhaul the support staff for Texas. And this actually is not really Charlie Strong's fault, and it really wasn't Tom Herman's fault. Mac Brown, when he came out, and Mac Brown would tell anybody who wanted to talk about
it, he thought it was unfair.
He was against the arms race of the support staff. He was like, no, this is unfair to the little guys. It's going to be the separation of the have and the have not. So he was against it, but you can't fight this kind of progress.
No.
It's going to happen. So that's why Mac ran like a mom and pop shop for way too long.
In fairness to Mac, he was just trying to be a good guy with that.
He thought he was being a
good guy. He wants it to be fair. He was the accountant who said, you know what? We shouldn't do this. And then I look at him and say, okay, but it's legal and it's going to save me money, right? And he goes, yep, I'm not going to do it. Well, Charles, it was a pleasure to meet you and work with you. We can still be friends because I think you're a good person.
Exactly right.
I'm going to go get an accountant that will...
He's going to find a loophole.
It's going to be legal.
And exploit it.
But he's gonna help me out.
Come on now. Why are you worried about them other people? I need somebody. I need my accountant to worry about me.
There's nothing fair about this.
Yeah, no, but you're right. I remember when Mac was against it, and I thought it was noble.
It was noble. No, I remember at the time thinking that's really noble.
I would like to see a support staff now, though. I want to see Mac's support staff over at North Carolina. Something tells me it's beefed up.
I bet it's changed.
Yeah, he was anti-air raid, and now had an air raid. Air raid OC.
Just like his kicks have. And all of a sudden, he looks like a 16-year-old with some of his kicks.
He's got some sick kicks.
And his shoes before, he looked more like a male nurse.
Dude, honestly, Mac's shoe game.
What are those medical shoes?
No, Mac's shoe game is probably better than most NBA players.
It's
because he's right there. I mean, he's in North Carolina.
Yeah.
It's Jordan Brand.
Jordan Brand. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's better than most NBA players, man.
All right, let's get to this Troy Aikman story. So, Troy Aikman, first off, Troy really wanted to call this game. I don't know if you saw the end of the game that he and Joe Buck were calling. I think it was Tampa Bay Eagles.
Yeah.
And at the end of it, they have enough time, so they're previewing the rest of the weekend. And Joe Buck said, well, you got that. You know, next will be Dallas and San Francisco. That should be a good game. And Troy goes, yeah, it should be a good game. Definitely be a good game. I know there are some broadcasters that wish they were calling that game.
Wow, did he say that?
On the air.
Man. But Romo called it, right?
Uh-huh.
Oh,
well, it was CBS. It was CBS, too. So he could not have called the game.
That's true.
Yeah. No. Like, that was the thing. It's because we were watching in the house.
I didn't even think about that.
No, we were watching the house, and it came on, and they go, we got Romo. And I go, it couldn't be.
Okay, but it was a shot. It seemed like a shot at someone, so maybe it's at the NFL that we should have gotten that game.
I think that was it. I think he still wanted to call the game, but he could not have done it because it was on CBS.
Because it was on CBS.
He wanted to call it.
Very fair point. That somehow escaped me. All right, let's get to what Aikman said, though, because Aikman was on 96.7 The Ticket. On Wednesday, and Aikman said that the Cowboys really hurt themselves. He said there was a lot of single coverage on CeeDee Lamb. I hate going back to when I was playing because nobody cares. It's not true. We care. But what I see around the league, it's not just Dallas. I've seen it with a lot of teams. A lot of these offenses want to scheme things. The coordinators, it's all about scheme rather than this corner is playing soft. He's scared to death. Just run the route tree, run a comeback, run a dig, run a curl, run anything. He said Michael Irvin in this situation would have had 10 catches by halftime. That, now, that does sound old.
No, I understand what he's saying.
I do, too.
Football, man, Jeff always throws out this quote, and I love it. Football is a simple game complicated by simple men. In the end, it is, you know, you can simplify it down to its most rudimentary form, almost what how Tom Herman used to describe it as. Football is trying to move another person against their will. And, you know, Shano kind of operates like that. I know he does a lot of scheming up, too. But remember, I talked about how he micro-targets defenders. If Shano sees that you got your cornerback 8-9 yards off every time, he'll decide, all right, we're just gonna run the same damn play or some version or form of it on this corner over and over again until they decide to make the adjustment. So I think it's kind of what he's talking about, micro-targeting a concept that can be exploited on the defensive end or a micro-targeting and exploiting a player, a specific player, and their skill set. So he's right. I mean, there's no doubt about it. He's right about that. The Cowboys missed that. They almost paralysis by analysis, that kind of thing. Overthinking it, which happens.
I totally agree. And there were some times where they got some easier passes, and that was what we talked about the whole time. So why I thought the Cowboys would end up winning was because that secondary was not going to be able to hold up. And they didn't really take advantage of some of that soft coverage that we know they play a ton of cover three.
Yep, they play a ton of coverage. They don't like to play man because the 49ers are
actually, they can't.
They're really bad in man coverage. They actually have the worst QBR allowed in the NFL when they play man coverage. So, you know, you're hoping to try to catch them in that. But they like to give space to the receivers. They don't want to be aggressive because they don't want to take a chance on getting beat downfield. And they just want their pass rush to be able to work. And if they just stay back and allow a little bit of cushion, it allows that pass rush to be able to get to the quarterback and affect the quarterback, because he can't do that unless, you know, you get vertically downfield. Now, that's when you say to Dak Prescott, I don't know if this is on Kellen Moore or if this is on Dak himself, you can just make a simple check or an audible and go, all right, CD, every time that he's got you, we're going to run something short. We're going to run a quick out. We're going to run a slant, or we're going to run a hitch every time he's 9 to 10 yards off.
And what you may do if you do that, you force them to actually make an adjustment, and that's when you can get the deep passing game going, which the deep passing game just had disappeared for Dallas for the most part in the second half of the year.
It did. Yeah, teams learned how to play them. I mean, and they played a lot of games with Dak with pre-snap disguised looks, and I think that it really did confuse Dak. And by the way, it was Vic Fangio kind of throughout that first blueprint against Dak, and he struggled. And teams, they figured out, you know, how to, and it was really a lot of how the matchup zones they would play against Dak, where they would start out in the zone coverage, but then it would degenerate or regenerate into man.
Mm-hmm.
And that gave Dak a lot of problems, apparently.
So Lamb had 5 targets against the Niners, and that was his highest target total in 3 games.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Whoa.
When I saw this quote, I was like, yeah, dead on. I think, you know, because they had so many struggles down the stretch, they kept trying to be smarter and kept trying to be smarter to figure it out. Instead of going, well, we started here, why don't we just take a few steps backwards and just let's try and simplify this, especially when you're working with talent like that. And when you're able to say our number 3 receiver, Cedric Wilson, is actually pretty talented. So we don't maybe not have to scheme up everything to be a scheme. Not everything.
Yeah.
Maybe a couple times we'll just see what we can get to have happen. And I think that was a part is where, you know, a lot of criticisms I have of Kellen Moore is that it just seems like he keeps trying to add where he's like, all right, well, now it's in a triple move instead of if the double move doesn't work, then there'll be a triple move. And then
gets
we'll get you across here and you go, well, cool, but that's 8 seconds.
Yeah.
Dak's already, the ball's out by then.
Right.
Yeah. No, so, it is, Dad. I agree with that.
CD had 79 catches for about 1,100 yards, 6 touchdowns to lead the team. Man, he has superstar written in him, but he's got a ways to go. He's got to get a hell of a lot more consistent. He's got to stop dropping passes, guys.
Yeah, no, there's
and he did in this game. I'm talking about throughout the year, though. It's almost like he's thinking too much about what am I going to do after this, because he is so special after the catch.
Yeah, and you see it, right? You see him flash that superstar, you know, explosivity, that ability to just separate from defenders, you know, the yak yard. So I'm with you. I think you'd want more consistency. I think that'll come because he's just so young. But, yeah, you see the difference between him and Amari Cooper and even Michael Gallup. He, to me, should be the guy featured in the passing game. And the fact that you let the 49ers take him away without actually them game planning to take him away, That cannot happen. And the 49ers show you, and Shannon does a really good job of it, how to force feed the football to your best players. Look at what Green Bay does with Devontae Adams. Everybody knows he's getting the damn ball. Everybody's trying to stop him from getting the damn ball. Nobody can.
Yeah, that's where you get creative.
They scheme him open a ton.
When you're simplistic with, okay, I'm really using one guy here, but I need to be creative on how I use him.
Yeah, so exactly. I know that's what Troy is saying, right? Get away from the scheme, but there are ways to scheme guys open. Scheme me up. Scotty Sark does a really good job, actually, of scheming guys open. I'll give him credit for that. But sometimes he's talking about what I think Troy's talking about is forget the scheme. Sometimes you got to go with just a simple strategy. Right, forget the scheme that you came up with in the game plan. The strategy should have been, no, that guy's playing 8 yards off. Let's just throw it and let's just eat him up with the cushion over and over again until he decides, oh, I'm going to come up and play bump and run.
Yeah,
and then we'll make an adjustment there. So there are different ways offensively you can attack the defense. You can do it with scheme. You can do it with strategy. You can do it with tactics. Right, just certain tactics that you want to use throughout the game. So I just think Kellen Moore right now needs to diversify his game plan of attack, his plan of attack.
I wouldn't go Debo for sure because they're different players.
But
I would get him involved actually with a couple of handoffs or jet sweeps. And he is so good with the ball in his hands.
He's great with
He's
the
not
ball.
As physical as Debo, I get that. But he's actually more physical.
He's twitchier.
He's twitchier.
Mm-hmm.
Get him the ball in different ways.
Yeah. Find a way to use your star players.
Yeah.
You have to find a way to use them. And if you're throwing into Cedric Wilson and double coverage, it's unacceptable to not be throwing it to CeeDee Lamb.
Also, yep. I say this. I'll say this. If you remember, if you were listening back then, the day after or the Monday after the draft, I came in and said, I watch a lot of college football. I've watched Colorado State. Michael Gallup is a really good pick where you got him. Mm. I like Michael Gallup. Michael Gallup is not a difference maker. If he wants too much money, Michael Gallup is your third receiver. And I would, not to get on the Cedric train too much, but don't overpay for Michael Gallup. Understand what he is. Mm-hmm. Now, he's great. He will go get the football. He's got a lot of stuff you want. He doesn't have the explosivity that you're probably that some teams may pay for.
No, I'm with you 100%.
All right. We'll be back to tell you what is on tap.
Pop a top again.
You mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash yourself?
Oh, yeah. You know, I've been known to drink a beer or two.
I think a man working outdoors feels more like a man if you can have a bottle of suds. It's only my opinion, sir.
I got beer.
I got bottled breast milk.
Why don't we start with the beer?
Okay.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Wait, it's already 5 o'clock here. It's time for What's on Tap.
How about a nice cool drink?
That's really
man,
good.
That's good. That is...
Pop a top again.
Welcome back to RBKD. Before we get out of here, we'll let you know what's on tap. But don't go anywhere because Flex ATX coming up. My man Snoop, JJ Dunn coming up next. Snoop Daniel and the crew for Flex ATX.
Zach Lucero, let's give him a little bit of love.
Zach Lucero, also give him some love. Is E. Hogan Seed with him this time?
I've not seen his seed.
Okay. All right.
We've got some seeds, though. Sunflower seeds.
We do have some sunflower seeds.
Sicko.
I'm not just saying.
I feel like the
That's what they call them.
Pickle
you
mask.
And that pickle.
That's what JJ,
I feel like the pickle mask.
That's what J.J. Dunn calls them, man. J.J. Dunn called him that. But anyway, that's coming up next, so don't go anywhere. Flex ATX. They're going to be talking about
high school basketball. And I think they're going to be recapping 5A.
5A. Just returning.
Like, yes, sir.
Who's returning in 5A. So there you go. Flex ATS coming up. What's on tap for you tonight? NBA?
Yeah. I mean, getting into it, and I know you are too. Cavs, it's been easy for me to get into it to some degree because the Bulls have been much better than I thought they'd be this year. DeMar DeRozan's just been a mid-range freak. Patrick knew that coming from the Spurs. LaVine, they got a pretty good defensive backcourt. So they're taking on the Cavs, who have also been good. So we'll check that out. And then the Mavs actually been playing better. The Mavs are good defensively.
Yeah.
What the hell is going on in life?
That's weird.
It's Rick Carlisle, though.
Yeah, that's true. Carlisle is that guy. Going back to the Pistons. But, I'll be checking that out. What about you guys?
I'm going to watch a new show. I'm watching Mayor of Kingstown. It's pretty good.
Mayor of Kingstown.
It's on Paramount. It's not bad.
Okay.
Not Jeremy Renner's in it.
It's on Paramount. Is that on cable?
That's the same network that has Yellowstone. I want to say it might be the same guy. It's pretty good.
Patrick?
Yes.
Spurs Thunder?
I'll be watching some basketball. And then also I'll probably keep up with the women's game happening right now.
Oh,
Aaron
on
105.3 The Bat.
Shout out.
It just tipped off here at 6:45. So
okay.
They're going right
Patrick's
now.
I will check that out as well. And he's all over it. We're glad you're all over us. Slide into the DMs. All right, that's enough. I think I've given all I can right there. For Patrick, for Rod, I'm Kevin. Hang around for Flex. Peace, y'all.